Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs who want one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Gary Occhiograsso of True Foods. And True Foods is a family of franchise concepts like Pudgy's Famous Chicken, Wall Street Deli, Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, and Ritter's Frozen Custard. And that's coming up on Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we've got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Big now!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team,
Big Mouth,
as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm doing well today. Marty, how about yourself? How's your week going?
Good. Another busy week, you know. It's amazing. We're slowly approaching the holidays, Don, you know. So it's exciting. I think the rest of the year is going to go by fast for us, isn't it?
Yeah, my son last night and this morning is already starting to count down the days to Christmas. It's a little too early.
I know.
You're saying like 39 days, and a couple of days ago it was 42 days,
God.
And now it's Thursday, and that means 39 days, and I mean, I don't even know myself.
Oh, that's funny. Well, it was funny because my son, you know, he's 3 years old now. He started watching all the Christmas videos, you know, and we're already like...
Right.
Enough already, you know, so we sit down, by the time Christmas comes, it's we're going to be ready for the new year, that's for sure. So, but
well, you know, let's just take one holiday at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Thanksgiving first, you know,
yeah.
So exactly. But our last show, Don, we had a great show last week. Segment one, we met with Tom Portisay, president of MFV Expositions, and Tom spoke about the show on the West Coast in L.A., and it sounds like it was going to be an exciting event. You know, we'll have to get some feedback, you know, from Tom or anyone on how the event actually went. Looks like there was a lot of industries there this year.
Yeah, a lot of different industries, and I have spoken to a lot of people who were at the show, and, you know, they're saying it was pretty good. Track maybe up from last year. There was more franchisor companies, like you said, a lot of different industries.
Right.
Still overall not to the level where shows were at, maybe 4 or 5 mm-hmm. years ago with
right.
overall traffic. But I'm sure you have certain franchisors who were very happy. Some weren't. Sometimes it takes time
exactly.
to see if some of those leads and prospects end up investing. But the shows go on even in still tough times.
Right, it's true. I mean, it's a long process, you know, and Tom gave a lot of great advice on the show as far as, you know, going prepared and saying that he believes that the visitors to the show are more prepared in going to the shows today because they're either listening to our show, Franchise Interviews, or surfing on the internet, you know, which I think is a good sign, you know, so I think that's fantastic.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, again, we'll have to have him back, you know, before you know it, Don will be back in Washington, right, at the...
Right.
The show in Washington, so it's which is always a fun event to go to. We also met with Jack Bodorak, CEO of Marco's Pizza, and we met with Kevin Wilkerson, area representative of Marco's Pizza. And headquartered in Toledo, Ohio, Marco's Pizza is the fastest growing pizza company in the U.S. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's a pretty bold statement.
Right.
That was based on the number of stores signed into developments since, I guess it was 2007. And Marco's was founded in 1978 by Pat Giammarco. And it kind of reminded me a bit of the McDonald's story, you know, where Ray Kroc kind of approached the McDonald brothers and said, let's franchise this thing, and they didn't want to do it. And I don't think Pat wanted to do it either. He didn't want to franchise it. So he let Jack do it. You know, so it was kind of
right.
like a similar story, I think. And these guys, they're not looking to become number one. I mean, Jack was saying, you know, he'd be content being the number four
right.
Pizza franchise in the country. So, do you have any thoughts on last week's show with those guys? I mean, again, that was the second time we had them on the show. So we're trying to bring some old guests back to the show, just like we're doing today with Gary.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a reasonable goal. I mean, certain mm-hmm. pizza brands, they just can't be caught. They're just too big. But being... Number four
right.
is really impressive, and I'm just impressed by their growth during these last couple of years when many franchisor companies have a hard time building and adding franchisors because of the economy and people wanting to
right.
wait and people having trouble with financing. So it's interesting, and I've had their pizza, so I know it's good. I know why they're growing.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that. I remember saying one of the shows you went to. I mean, there's a lot of different pizza franchises at the shows. You know, sometimes it's like five or six of them, you know, so you do get to sample
right.
some different ones and kind of compare, you know. But this pizza, from what I understand, is a little different, you know. I mean, it's high quality. It's not, you know, hopefully, you know, like I'm saying, like Domino's isn't listening, you know, or some of those other pizza places where it's,
right.
you know, not as high quality. So I understand once you try it, it's it really is spectacular. So they did a great job. And, again, we're going to continue to watch them as they continue to grow and, again, have them back, you know, in the future. I mean, it's amazing booking shows, Don. I'm just looking at the upcoming schedule here. We have Michael Gerber, who's going to be our guest on the fourth year anniversary show, 200th show. That's just in 2 weeks, if you can imagine. We have the Goddard School, and I know you're familiar with those guys.
Right.
Ronnie Deutsch, Game and Ride, and America's Swimming Pool Company. And there's another one in the end of December. So we're booked until the end of the year. You know, so we're going to start booking shows into 2011 now. So
right.
It's going to be a fun rest of the year. You know, I'm looking forward to the guests, particularly Michael Gerber. I mean, he's amazing to have on the show, isn't he?
We'll have some other guests on that show, and that's just in a couple mm-hmm. of weeks. I can't believe how quickly that's coming up as we
yeah.
head into the Thanksgiving holiday. So, yeah, as always,
exactly.
a nice, diverse group of different business opportunities in franchising. So I'm sure we'll continue
right.
to build the archive, and should be an interesting one with that swimming franchise.
Yeah, again, something different. I mean, it's the diversity of the show, you know. I mean, we've had the biggest names on the show since we've been doing it 4 years, and we've also had some exciting new concepts, and some of them have really taken off, you know, and that's exciting
right.
to see as well, you know, so that's fantastic. I know you had some great articles this week, and we never have a chance to cover all of them, you know. You kind of give me a
right.
hint as far as what the article's about, and I always want to hear them, and what do you got this week?
Yeah, let me get to this one, but remember we're having Gary Occhiograsso on the show coming up in a few
mm-hmm.
minutes, True Foods,
right.
and they have a few
Absolutely.
Brands, and he'll talk about a few that they've had to help turn around that fell on some hard times. A really interesting story, and we've had Gary on before.
Oh, yeah.
He's a friend of the show, so
yeah.
that's excellent. Here's something, Marty, Pasadena Star News. Franchising offers business independence with support. This is by Kevin Smith. The nation's economic recovery is on a slow track, but the franchising industry is surging ahead. Franchise Business Economic Outlook reveals that franchising is responsible for 18 million jobs, and the industry is expected to add another 36,000 jobs by the end of 2010. Overall franchise output will increase by 2.8% this year, with a net gain of $23.6 billion, according to the report. Robert Stidham, president of Franchise Dynamics, has a theory about why his industry is seeing so much growth in a down economy. He says, whenever you have a recession where unemployment is so high, you have a community of displaced people who reach a place where they don't want a corporate job anymore. He said, many of these people have management skills and access to capital. Those are principally the people who are buying. Many who want to test the waters are attending this year's West Coast Expo show, which was just last weekend in L.A. The event began Friday, ran through the weekend. If you are looking to own your own business, franchising is an option everyone should consider, especially if you've never owned your own business, said Ann Woods, who owns the Covina franchise for Express Employment Professionals. The advantage, according to her, is that much of the foundation has already been laid. So when someone steps into a franchise opportunity, they're dealing with a known quantity that has branding and operational procedures already in place. I didn't know that. No, I'm just kidding. So much of it is already wired for you, says Woods. It's a business in a box. You and I have talked about that, Marty, that you know, you have to be a certain type of person to go into franchising. You got to realize that you're going to be following a procedure. You own your franchise, but certain procedures you have to follow. Express Employment is the nation's fourth largest staffing company and the only privately held business among the world's 20 largest staffing firms. Bob Mauser of San Marino is another advocate of franchising. He owns a franchise called Certapro Painters. 3 years ago, my wife and I were looking to start our own business. We were looking for a good, solid business model that couldn't easily be outsourced overseas. We wanted the independence of running a business without having to reinvent the wheel to do it. So they eventually and ultimately settled on Certapro. He says, if I tried to do this on my own, I probably could, but I would have taken a lot more time and cost me a lot more, he says. You still do some learning on the ground, but you get up and running pretty fast. He said his venture has grown and fared better in this economy than some of the other private painting contractors. If you have a great burning desire to get a new product out there on the market, then yeah, go on your gut on your own, because this makes sense. But if you're looking to create a sustainable business, that's where franchising comes in.
Right.
Interesting, right?
That's very interesting.
Here were, you know, a couple of people, and this is a common type of story we've been hearing, you know, for years, just not during this tougher economy. And people who don't want to get back to corporate America, you know.
Right.
And we've even heard it from certain franchisees we've had on the show. And they wanted to, you know, I guess anybody opening up a business, you always want to become profitable as soon as possible. And
right.
you always want a little security and a little peace of mind, and I guess that's what franchising offers. Never any guarantee of success, but if you do your homework, choose the right franchise, and just on your gut feeling, feel it's the right thing, you're willing to work, a good chance it's going to work out for you. The failure rate's much lower with franchises.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he said some interesting things in the article. I don't know if I disagree with. I mean, I think he used the word everybody in one particular sentence, that everyone should consider. I'm not sure if everyone should consider. I mean, again, maybe you can look into it. You know, as our friend Dr. John Hayes says, you know, franchising isn't for everyone, and in fact, it's probably not for most people. You know, so I think the start on it is to actually understand what franchising is and what you're getting into. You know, from
right.
You know, some of these people who are or were downsized from corporate America, franchising may not be a match. You know, especially for those true entrepreneurs. You know, as we've mentioned on the show. So, but again, yeah, no, I think it's an important article.
Here's something from upstate New York, franchise firms upbeat on growth. Companies seeking new owners to carry out expansion plans in the Buffalo, New York area. We just went from California now, across the country to New York. Buffalo's Niagara's economy may not be booming, but a number of franchise companies see opportunities to grow and are searching for suitable franchises, franchisees to open more locations. The franchisors are expanding their presence in everything from auto repair to discount fitness center. Some of the companies already have locations here and see room for more. Among the expanding companies is Amco, which plans to open 4 additional auto service centers in the area in the next 3 to 5 years. Snap Fitness wants to grow from its 6 area locations to about 20. Pump It Up, which hosts children's parties and other events, wants to open its first area location. And Cartridge World plans to add several more stores. Their expansion plans might seem to run counter to Buffalo's reputation as a steady, slow-growth market. But looking in from the outside, they say the region's demographics suit them, and they see a chance to capitalize on trends in their respective industries. Amco has 4 auto service centers in the Buffalo area and has identified 4 other spots where it could add locations in the next few years. That's pretty incredible.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it's funny because a lot of those franchises that you mentioned, I mean, they were on our show the last couple of years, you know, so... you can really relate to it.
Well, it might seem like a lot. The total would still be within the chain's guidelines for centers per vehicles in a given market to avoid undercutting its franchisee sales, says Tony Padulo, Amco's VP of Franchise Sales and Development. I know Tony, good guy. He says the Pennsylvania-based Amco has to find the right match, he says. It doesn't mean we open centers just because we can. And it goes on, I guess the franchisee, said a middle market like Buffalo makes sense for Amco to target for expansion. Residents have enough money to maintain their vehicles, he said, but aren't so affluent that they can constantly replace their cars. People around here aren't foolish with their cars. We've had some automotive franchises on, and they've mentioned that the last, you know,
right.
on that show. I guess more people are holding on to their cars. Maybe people can't afford to get a new one. You have to always get your car fixed. I understand why a lot of automotive dealerships are doing pretty well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It says here, the average car or truck on the road today is 10.1 years old.
Really?
Up from 8.8 years in 2001.
Wow.
It's pretty incredible.
Oh,
I was always replacing a car every 4 or 5 years when it got up. I know cars maybe being built better now.
Right.
Many franchisors, including Snap, do not require a background in the industry. They estimate 90% of Snap franchise owners do not have prior experience in the fitness industry. We give them all the tools and training for them to become successful business owners. Beyond meeting the chain's financial requirements, Snap looks for franchise owners who will be active in their communities, keep their clubs clean, and be welcoming to members, creating an atmosphere that customers will want to come back. Franchisee-owned businesses have a significant impact on the local economy, according to data from the IFA. In the two congressional districts covering nearly all of Western New York, there are about 4,500 business format operations owned by franchisees with a combined payroll of over $1.2 billion. A lot of stuff going on. Pump It Up and Cartridge World are not only searching for franchisees, but trying to build local brand recognition. And I'm very familiar with Pump It Up, and you'll start to be going to some of those places, Marty, with your with Martin being invited to birthday parties.
This guy's affiliated with, is it Bounce U, Don, too?
Yeah, they're owned by the same company, right.
They are. Okay, so yeah, we have been to one, actually, a couple parties since we've even had them on the show, so yeah.
Cartridge World's master franchisee for New York State, Greg Carafello, who we know, he's been on the show, believes the Buffalo area can support another 4 or 5 of the ink and toner printer cartridge retailer stores as part of plans to build the chain's presence around the state.
Wow.
So it's interesting. You know, I guess learning about a particular part of New York, but the fact that you can have many locations to support,
right.
and franchisers will never want to put a franchisee in a location if they're right from the beginning fighting an uphill battle, because obviously
sure.
they don't want any franchisee who's going to be unhappy or not making money or failing. A default is very bad for a franchise system.
Exactly.
And the next couple of weeks, Marty, I got our friend Julie Bennett, who's been on the show. She wrote an article in Wall Street Journal, Franchising the Year in Review. So we'll be getting to that in next couple of
great.
Weeks' show. And another nice article about business owners who had their business for years and you know started struggling, and then they converted their business to a franchise, staying in that same industry and now doing better and having success. So that's interesting, doing a conversion, struggling to franchising, and now doing better.
That's amazing. Yeah, those are some great articles. It's a nice teaser, too, Don, for our listeners. You know, so they can want more.
Yeah.
So, well done. So what do we do? I see our guest Gary has called in, Don. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews. Coming up in segment two, there are a family of franchise concepts that include Pudgy's Famous Chicken, Wall Street Deli, Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, and Ritter's Frozen Custard. We're meeting with Gary Oki Grasso of True Food, and that's coming up on Franchise Interviews.
Helping build America one small business at a time. Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Gary Okigrasso of True Foods. And True Foods includes franchise concepts like Pudgy's Famous Chicken, Wall Street Deli, Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, and Ritter's Frozen Custard. Hey, Gary, how you doing today?
How are you guys today? Doing well.
That's great, Gary. It's wonderful to speak to you again. It's been, how long has it been, Don, since we had Gary on the show? It seems like yesterday, but I know it wasn't.
Yeah, at least a couple of years. So it's good to have you back, Gary, and see that, it seems like things are going pretty well for you in franchising. You have a big job with True Foods. Tell us about how True Foods in general. Tell us about the franchise system and how things are going. I understand things are going pretty well for you.
Well, sure, and it is good to be back on the show, and I was listening in on the earlier segment from some great articles and information there that you folks have passed it on. Very viable, I think, educating the individual interested in looking at franchising as a development tool is a very, very important job. And I think you had mentioned earlier that some of the successes that franchisors have had at the trade shows is based on the fact that the attendees, the folks who are visiting those shows, are better educated when they walk in. So I'm
right.
A huge advocate of the education of the individual looking to purchase a franchise, because at the end of the day, I think it helps folks like me. It helps franchisors select what I'll say are better franchisees, and I don't mean better people, but a better fit for the concept. And To segue into your question, that's really been the focus of True Foods and the brands that we've acquired over the last few years. To back up, I'll tell you that True Foods was formed about 3.5 years ago. The CEO of our company put together a management team that is very well-versed, very experienced, not only in the franchising business, but in the restaurant business. And restaurants are the industry that True Foods focuses on. Earlier in the earlier promo, you had mentioned Pudgy's Famous Chicken and Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, Wall Street Deli, Ritter's Frozen Custard. Many familiar names in specific markets,
yeah.
Concepts
yeah.
that grew, some that grew too quickly and then perhaps receded, mm-hmm. others that didn't grow out to their full potential. And that's our focus at True Foods, to find those brands that have, what I call street credibility, street cred. The,
mm-hmm.
the consumers love them, but perhaps the past management didn't manage them properly. Perhaps there was errors in franchisee selection or location selection. And we come in and we acquire those brands, and then we apply what we would refer to as best practices in the franchising business and in the restaurant business, and look to give our franchisees all the tools that they need to become successful in that particular brand. That's our mission at True Foods.
What's the biggest challenge about going about this? I mean, it seems like you have a little bit of a head start because people will recognize the name from the past and will have some good memories. But then there's going to be some people who might have seen that some closed down, and when they see some closing down, hey, there's a problem there.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Were you finished?
No, I was just gonna. You can go ahead and answer as far as what have you seen since you've been there, Gary, and what's been the most challenging aspect? Maybe something you didn't realize when True Foods brought you on.
Well, it's a great question. I can tell you the biggest challenge that we faced, and I'm sure many franchisors that acquire brands, the biggest challenge is gaining the trust and getting buy-in from the franchisees that you acquire who were left over, so to speak, from the former management team. Because
Right. Their
point of view is that the franchisor didn't help them enough, they had limited services, limited service from that franchisor. And the question is, when I'm sitting and meeting with a franchisee who was already in the system when we acquired the brand, the biggest challenge is looking that individual in the eye and answering the question that they often will ask me, and that is, why are you different? Why is this going to be different now that True Foods LLC owns this brand as opposed to, XYZ franchisor? And, we can talk a good game, and we can put a lot of words into the atmosphere, so to speak, but at the end of the day, the franchisee needs to be shown. We need to garner credibility by having small victories along the way and gain their trust and gain their buy-in, because, quite honestly, I don't believe there's a franchisor in the world that can be successful without successful franchisees who are committed to the brand and have bought into the systems and the methods that the franchisor wants to apply. So that's certainly the biggest challenge, winning over the franchisees.
So it was really back to basics with
Right. You
and your associates getting in there, really back to basics to across the board marketing, making the franchisees happy and seeing them do better and them believing. And when as far as bringing on new investors, I mean, I kind of look at this, I was just thinking while you were talking, it's like a college team that's not doing well, even something like Rutgers. They have a new coach. He's bringing in some good quality players, recruits. He's selling a new vision. But you have to build the foundation. You have to have a new investor, a franchisee, just seeing they start having confidence that they see from top to bottom, from management to new procedures put in place, to franchisees doing better in sales, and just a feeling of togetherness in a team. Now, I guess that's what you're trying to build, and it seems like that's what you're doing so far.
I mean, there's obviously numerous steps that you have to take in order to be successful at that. I think the steps that we at True Foods take really are to walk the walk, so to speak. It would be one thing for me or our chief operating officer to sit down with franchisees and, preach to the franchisees about what they should be doing and how to do it. It's another thing entirely for the company, for True Foods, to make a financial commitment to now open corporate stores in each of these brands. Most of them don't have a corporate store. So now if I'm putting money into the brand, if I'm opening up a corporate store and the franchisee sees the level of commitment on the part of the franchisor to actually be in the business that we're telling them to be in, then rather than sitting and preaching, we make our corporate stores successful, we follow our system, and I'm a big systems
right.
guy because I'm a student of Michael Gerber,
and
once that's achieved, there's really very little that you need to speak to a franchisee about with respect to following the system, because you can bring them into your corporate store, you can bring them into those ideas and those systems, and they just pick up on it and they say, okay, I see it. You've invested money. you're following the system you want us to follow, you have a measured success result, well, of course I'm going to follow that system. So I think you need to show them. You can't just tell them. You need to show them.
Mm-hmm. And also the bottom line is, I mean, you know, this is good, you know, good product you have. I've had Pudgy's chicken. It's excellent. You know, all these products are just
right.
good food, but there's more than just having good food. The price has to be there, the service, the experience of what people really mm-hmm. want to seem to get now so they can tell their friends and family. But that's a good starting point, is that it's good product.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a good point.
You
know,
it's interesting. It's a great point that you make. You know, if you follow or if you've read The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, he talks about innovation, quantification, and orchestration. You know, there's a lot of moving parts. Very often, especially in the restaurant business, you find technicians, chefs, cooks, in this particular case, who open up a restaurant and they fail and they can't figure out why. And it's because they haven't applied all of the pieces, all of the reasons that make a small business successful. So, true, you need to have that great product. And I think I've said on your program at one other point that a good franchise system is very much like a three-legged stool. You have concept is one leg, the franchisee is the second leg, and the location is the third leg if it's a bricks and mortar business. And if any one of those are off, it's going to fall over. So what True Foods looks for is that right blend of franchisee, the right locations, but also the right products. You mentioned Pudgy's Famous Chicken. Pudgy's Famous Chicken was the originator in the United States of skinless fried chicken. It's a better product, contains 25% less cholesterol than your standard fried chicken that you might find out in other fast food places. And then with the True Foods team, we've upgraded the brand. We've added more offerings to the menu in the sense that we do grilled chicken options at this point. We've added vegetables to our side dishes. So, you know, busy folks can call up Pudgy's Chicken, order a full meal, and have it delivered to their door. And that's really our points of differentiation. It's the fact that it's a skinless fried chicken product, and it's a delivery business. And it gives not only the consumer the advantage of an option when they're looking to call in for food, but it gives our franchisees a very unique point of differentiation, because in the quick service chicken business, as a chain restaurant, we're the guys in the delivery section, and that's really the point of differentiation for us.
Yeah,
and
we're talking before the show, Gary. I mean, the reaction that we've had towards you know, a lot of people ask Gary who's going to be on the show. And when I mentioned to my dad and my wife and a couple other people, I mentioned the name Arthur Treacher's. The reaction is amazing how excited people are, because I have nothing but fond memories of Arthur Treacher's fish and chips. And I think you said the same thing too, Don. You know,
right.
So I think there's going to be a great consumer reaction to seeing the brand again. You know,
years ago, our predecessor who owned the Arthur Treacher's brand. Sold the intellectual property to Nathan's Hot Dogs, which we all know Nathan's. It's a worldwide brand. They've done a wonderful, wonderful job of carrying the Treacher's brand forward within Nathan's restaurants as a co-brand within Nathan's. We retain the rights to franchise it in particular states, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, to name a few. But one of the things that we've been able to do over the last year and a half with the good folks over at Nathan's is to create what's now known as a branded menu program for Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, so that all of the Pudgy's units that are open and the new ones opening, and we have five new units opening, by the way, and we've only relaunched the brand probably 6 months ago at this point, but all the new Pudgy's chicken units will have an Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips inside it as a co-brand. Some of them will even have names.
Wow.
Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, it's interesting you mention that, because when I first landed at True Foods about a year and a half ago, I was amazed. I was getting 20, 30, 50 emails a week from folks all over the country asking about Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips. And I have the same memories of Arthur Treacher's that you do. So our ability now to co-brand it with Pudgy's not only excites the consumer, our franchisees are very excited because for just a slightly higher investment cost, they insert this brand, Arthur Treacher's, into their Pudgy's Famous Chicken units, and they've got two powerhouse brands propelling everything from consumer acceptance to paying the rent.
Well, right there starts giving franchisees confidence that, you know, these type of decisions, restaurant is you know, competitive food and retail, and you have to have every possible edge, and so I'm sure that's the feedback I'm sure is really good, and I guess Ritter's has quite a history, right, Gary?
Ritter's is a wonderful brand out of Indianapolis. We have a great website for Ritter's. It's ritters.com. It was started by John and Bonnie Ritter back in 1989. Had grown primarily in the Midwest, specifically in the Indianapolis market. A high quality premium ice cream. Actually, the fact that it has an egg in it, it's egg-based. It's a French ice cream. We refer to it as a frozen custard. It makes it a custard. It is absolutely off the charts delicious. The business model over the years has changed, and we've evolved it and grown it to a new business model that's very exciting for our franchisees, which I'll talk about in a minute. But in the early days, the Ritter's Frozen Custard franchise was very much about franchisees buying a piece of ground, buying a piece of property and putting up a freestanding building and making a pretty sizable investment, 20-25 years ago with a freestanding building, walk-up windows, drive-throughs, things of that nature. And that business model worked. In today's day and age, when you have much more competition in the premium ice cream and custard business, when you have a higher cost to purchase a piece of real estate, you have accelerated costs in construction, building a freestanding building to sell frozen custard may not always be the best business model. So we've done a few things. One of the things that True Foods has brought to the table with respect to the Ritter's brand is, number one, we've co-branded it with Nathan's. So many of our Ritter's franchisees going forward will have the Nathan's hot dogs, the branded menu program, within the Ritter's unit. You can go into a Ritter's and sit down, which is very helpful in the Northeast and in the Midwest, where in the wintertime it's cold, and I'm not sure people are willing to sit in their car and eat ice cream. By the way, it's interesting because in our stores in Florida, the same holds true, but for the opposite reason. Sitting out on a patio when it's 95 degrees, the ice cream melts.
Yeah, true. It melts.
Having impervious seating has been helpful. Moving to inline shopping center type units and end cap units with drive-throughs has helped the investment come from somewhere in the $700,000 range down to about $350,000. So we've cut that investment in half, and we still give the franchisees a good, strong sales-to-investment ratio. And the biggest innovation, we've worked on this for the last year and a half, is to create a concept that we call scoop shops. And it's not unlike the model that Dunkin' Donuts uses, where they produce donuts in a central location and the franchisee then distributes those donuts, in that case, to their individual satellite locations. Myself, being a former Dunkin' Donut franchisee, looked at that model and said, we can produce great frozen custard in a bigger shop, but we can certainly produce enough product that we can distribute to various scoop shops that are owned by that same franchisee. So we have a unique business model, reduces the cost and increases their sales.
It seems like, Gary, talk to us about site and locations. It seems like, these can be good in airports and near colleges, really anywhere. But is there any specific type of location you're targeting for any of the brands you think would be like an A type of location for your franchisees?
Yeah, and obviously all markets are different and all brands are different. I mean, certainly what drives Ritter's are neighborhoods and families who go out for ice cream. It's more of an event than just simply having frozen custard. There's a lot more to it. I think the brand that we own that has the most interesting backstory, if you will, with respect to locations, is our Wall Street Deli brand. And the Wall Street Delis grew up in the 80s and in the 90s in essentially what we refer to in the industry these days as non-traditional locations. They were opened typically in the lobbies of office buildings and in effect became the cafeteria for those office buildings, serving breakfast and lunch, good quality sandwiches, a hot entree, soups, salads, a great variety of food. What we've done is we've looked at that model, and again, you know, in 2010, the term non-traditional location takes on a much more varied form of location. So today, you'll find Wall Street Deli, for example, in the Atlanta-Hartsfield Airport. You'll find it in Salt Lake City Airport. You'll find it in various hospitals in Cincinnati and Columbus, Ohio. And yes, you still find us in the office buildings. You'll find us in small retail centers in and around office parks. So the Wall Street Deli brand, you know, the point of differentiation, in addition to the quality of the food and its brand position, has been its ability to tuck itself into an existing market and not necessarily competing with the sandwich shop down the street. They're catering to a different market. Ritter's is a co-branded scenario where we can actually build a Ritter's that's 500 square feet. We put them in convenience stores. I mentioned earlier we have 5 new Pudgy's Famous Chicken units going up. 3 of them are in convenience stores. So I think being able to grab good locations wherever they are, being able to service consumers in different environments is really what's going to drive the franchising industry on the food side. I think it's going to drive it forward because one of the maybe the biggest reason people use quick service food is because it's convenient. So you need to make it convenient.
Right. And what are the types of and characteristics of franchisees you're looking for currently? And it must be some pretty good word of mouth, Gary. I guess you have people hearing about what's going on with the brands and calling you up directly. Probably have some of that going on. And then what's the type of person when you're speaking to someone, you know, what is it in their background or, you know, that you want for your future franchisees?
Well, that's a great question, Don. And you know, I mean, you know, my website, franchisemoneymaker.com, which is an educational website, free to anyone to use, franchisor and franchisee, really exists to educate franchisees on not only the different types of franchisors and franchise opportunities that exist, but really to take a good look inward. To
right.
be able to find that mix of following their passion, but yet not being in, I thought one of you mentioned earlier that franchising is not for everyone, and I agree with that statement. You know, the dyed-in-the-wool entrepreneur, the outrageously innovative, creative individual is probably not a good fit for a franchise system as a franchisee. They're probably better suited as a franchisor. That being said, you do want to find an individual that has the discipline and the ability to understand structure and systems, but has an entrepreneurial spirit in the sense that they're following their passion of business ownership in a field that they enjoy, that they feel comfortable in. I think that's pretty much the psychology behind it. The other pieces to what any franchisor would look for in a franchisee are very black and white, and that is, you know, does the individual have the right skill set in their background? Do they have the financial ability to open up a franchise unit? Is the market available? I think those are just very binary, if you will, on and off situations. They either are or are not. I think the challenge that franchisors face, and certainly the challenge that we at True Foods face every day, is vetting out the desires and the expectation of the potential franchisee, because if you can't manage that expectation, chances are, no matter how successful the individual may be financially, they will still be unhappy. And that unhappiness will flow through to the customer base and eventually won't be successful financially, but they also won't necessarily have very positive, upbeat things to say about the brand because it's not their passion and it's not a good fit. So finding out The desire and the expectation of the potential franchisee is perhaps the most important thing a franchisor can do to vet out, qualify an individual before awarding that franchise license.
Yeah, that's so important. Gary, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
If you'd like to, I can.
We would definitely like you to. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Gary Ogiagrasso of True Foods. And True Foods includes franchise concepts like Pudgy's Famous Chicken, Wall Street Deli, Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, and Ritter's Frozen Custard. Hey, Gary, I thought we could maybe go to a little bit about training. Like, once someone decides to become part of the True Foods franchise system, what happens after that? What's training like?
Well, the training is a very important piece to the setup of any business. We take it very seriously. When we purchased these brands, we took a good hard look at the training modules and the training programs of each brand, updated them, revamped them, really started to drill down on the pieces that were giving our existing franchise community difficulties, looked at the system to see if there were parts of the system that were difficult to execute and how we could work around that. And then how do we train a franchisee to execute flawlessly and consistently every day, and not necessarily with the franchisee in the building, so to speak, but with an eye on the fact that we can really instruct and teach and educate that franchisee to have minimally skilled labor, if you will, on the front line, executing flawlessly. And I think that's one of the advantages of a good franchise system. The training and the system itself allows the delivery of the product, so to speak, to the end user, to the consumer, to be consistent and of high quality, whether a 17-year-old is operating that system or a 50-year-old is operating that system. So we're training very seriously at True Foods. What we call the initial training, which is in-store and classroom, very hands-on, very aggressive in the sense that our franchisees are put to work. That's a two-week training program, but it doesn't stop there. When someone successfully completes the initial training program prior to their opening, our RDO, Regional Director of Operations, our opening team, are very typically in the field with that franchisee anywhere from another 7 to 14 days prior to their opening and then at their opening. And the purpose for that is twofold. First, we assist the franchisee in selecting their employees. A lot of folks in our business who have been in corporate America for many years either haven't hired individuals, or if they've been in management or upper management, they've hired individuals that typically are on a much higher pay scale than someone working in a fast food restaurant. So their ability to understand that mindset and what might be appealing and how to manage and coach that 19-year-old individual who, you know, working in a quick service restaurant is a level job, it's a whole different skill set. So typically 2 weeks formal training in our facility, and then another 2 weeks at their facility helping them bring in their employees, and then, of course, once that restaurant opens, actually working with the franchisee, tightening up any loose ends, helping them get up to speed, practice, and ensuring that the first impression the consumer has is a good impression, because that's the lasting one.
Still real nice deals out there, Gary, with lease space. Still a buyer's market, right?
Yeah, well, I've been telling folks for the last 2.5 years that a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And I don't mean to make light of it, but these are opportunities for franchisees. The rental market is terrific. Not only are costs lower, but also availability of prime locations is greater than I've seen in the last, certainly in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's true.
And as far as, I'm sure, like any good company, I'm sure you have some nice short and long-term goals. You know, what do you think the future? You know, what's some of the goals of True Foods moving forward?
Well, great question. I think, you know, we looked at our goals and broke it into different phases, different pieces. I think our first goal when we acquired these brands a few years back was to get a good analysis going with respect to what was working, what wasn't working, get buy-in from our franchisees, fix the pieces in the system that weren't working as well as they should have, add pieces that were missing, stabilize the operations, and as a team, feel confident that we could award someone a franchise license, give them a system, and feel good about the fact that if they applied this system, they would be successful. So that was our first goal. Our short-term goal now is to take these materials, new learnings, and brands that we've relaunched and look to double the size of the brand, of each brand, in the next, I would say, 3 years. That would take us from about 90 units to close to 200 units. Again, real estate being what it is, being available. As you know, Don, being in the financial business, the finances are starting to loosen up for franchisees, so money is there for qualified individuals. Franchising is roaring back. I think as a company, True Foods will take advantage of that trend and will hit our goal. Long term, we'd like to see these brands stretch out across the United States. Right at this point, we're very regionally focused and select market focused, meaning that we're going to continue to develop these brands where name recognition already exists. Once we have a firm foothold in those markets, then we will begin to penetrate markets where none of these brands, be it Pudgy's or Wall Street Deli or Ritter's, currently exist. So it's a three-phase goal program. Goal one, complete. Goal two, we're in the middle of right now. Goal three,
okay, we have about 30 seconds. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on True Foods? Are there any websites, any numbers that they can call?
Foods.com. There's swing in the word. It's start you.
TrueFoods.com.
Yeah. Foods.com.
That's fantastic.
And you can.
That's great. I want to thank JJ and Gary. You're always an incredible guest. And we're having Michael Gerber on in a couple of weeks. We should have Gary back on the show, huh, Don?
Right, yeah. Big fan. We all are.
That'll be fantastic. Well, thanks again, Gary. And we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Take care, Gary. Great job.
Thank you. Thanks. It's been a great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, it's interesting hearing the True Food story. And with Gary involved, you know they're on the right track, so it's good.
Yeah, I love how he explains everything, too. You know, I mean, I love that whole three-legged stool of franchising. I think we've referenced it after we had Gary on the show a couple of years ago. He spoke about concept, franchisee, and location, all critical elements to making the whole thing work, you know. And this whole co-branding thing, too, I mean, that's very powerful, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What's going to go on with that company? So,
right.
It really is amazing. A lot of people excited, you know, with these names. You know, I know I'm excited as a consumer, you know, to see some of these names back, you know, in my area. So,
definitely.
It's exciting. I'd like to, let's keep our eye on True Foods, and we'll have Gary back in 2011 as they grow.
Yep, definitely.
So good job on segment one today, Don. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com where you can hear almost 200 shows in the 4 years that we've been doing the show. And go to gofranchise.com, franchisefunding.net. And I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Sounds great, Marty. Have a great day.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Take care.